But Christ, 1 Corinthians 15:20, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the firstfruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in his own turn, Christ the firstfruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come. When he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, after he has destroyed all dominion and authority and power, for he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. The unbelievers describe faith as a leap in the dark. Well, you just take a leap of faith. In fact, there are many who name themselves as Christians who use the same words, but that is not true. Faith is not a leap in the dark. I've been having an ongoing discussion with a girl at work. She doesn't work all the time. She's a sub, but she's there several days a week. And once in a while, she's in the room that I'm in. She was in my old room a lot more. She said, well, I just believe. And faith is just, you know, a leap. And I have my own religion. No, it's not. And faith is useless unless it's faith in the right thing. There are millions of people who have given their lives for faith in the wrong thing. But what offers the only real hope, the only real step of faith, is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul said it this way. Turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. Verse 31. Acts 17, 31. For he, God, has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof. Other translations use the word assurance of this to all men by raising him from the dead. That's the one thing that sets Jesus apart from everyone else. People say, well, there's many religions. Yes, there are, but there's only one resurrection. Every other religious leader, every pastor, every priest, every pope, every founder of every religion, every leader of every cult, said they had the way. But Jesus is the only one who proved it. He came back. And without that, there's no hope. Death is the great fear. Turn with me to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Beginning of verse 14, Hebrews chapter 2, 14. Since the children, you and I, have flesh and blood, He, Jesus, also shared in their humanity, so that by His death He might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. There's a lot of people that talk today about slavery. There's a lot of talk in this political season about reparations, and slavery is a horrible thing, but slavery still exists for the mass of humanity. Because the slavery that still has chains on so many wrists and stripes on so many backs is the slavery of death. Living our entire lives in fear to death, afraid to grow old. Amazing what age will do to people. Years ago, people were a little less vain than they are now, but I remember the day came when John Wayne began to feel his age, and he was ashamed of it, but he snuck off to Mexico to have a secret surgery, to have a facelift, to look younger. We can try to erase the effects of aging.
We can do Botox.
Stretch our skin till... Have you seen the way some of these people look? They look like those people in those centripetal force machines that they put the astronauts in. But there's no escaping death. Some of you are young enough here that you don't really think about that. It doesn't affect you. I know, because I was your age. You don't think about it. I was talking with someone the other day, a young person, and I said, you know, you just never know how short life can be. I should have been dead a whole bunch of times. And I should have been. They, yeah. And I said, no, really, look at this. That's where I almost slit my throat. Quarter of an inch deeper, I'd have been dead in 4 minutes, and nothing on earth other than a vascular surgeon standing there ready to operate could have saved me. That was 4 years before I came to Christ. Almost five. I'd have been in hell for 40 odd years now. But there reaches a point where death doesn't just become a tragedy that, oh, I got lucky and avoided. It becomes the reality that stalks you day by day. And the fear of that is a slave driver. One of the final pictures that John Wayne posed for, he's standing and he's staring out into a darkness. The person who did his funeral, before, as he was preparing for the funeral, was looking at that portrait that was painted. And he said it suddenly struck him that he was staring out at death. Terrified. The most popular man in America. Terrified. Successful in every measure. Terrified. Because death stalks us all. Kings, paupers, presidents. We just had the passing of the oldest living president, the oldest president to die, and now he's been surpassed. Two presidents simultaneously made it into their 90s. Is that a blessing or a curse? Because even if you make it to 90, what's 90 compared to death? And without the resurrection, death is the great darkness. There's nothing waiting out there. No one knows. It's the abyss. You throw in the stone and you listen to hear if it strikes, and there's no answer. Oh, but thanks to the resurrection, there's a face staring back, and his name is Jesus. Notice what Paul says about that. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 15. Notice what Paul says about that. Verse 20, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. He says, because of that, we will also be raised from the dead. And notice what he says then in verse 24. He says, then the end will come. We have a... She inherited my sneeze. Then the end will come. There's a lot of politicians talking today about the end. Have you seen that? If we don't do something, the world is over in 10 years. And they say we're nuts for believing that Jesus is coming. Some of you are old enough, but many of you aren't. See, that's what politicians count on, is that you don't have any memory beyond yesterday. I remember when I was a young man, they were talking about the new ice age. The ice age is coming. But that won't be the end. They can rant and rave about global warming or whatever they call it now. That won't be the end. It amazes me that every time these godless people, unbelievers, open their mouths, they talk about the one thing God's promised not to do. Oh, the oceans are going to overflow and the world is going to be flooded. It's the one thing God said he wouldn't do. The one thing he said he will do, they don't fear at all. The end will come when Jesus hands over the kingdom to God the Father. After he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power, after everything that exalts itself against God. Paul's referring back to Psalm 2. Why do the heathens rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The rulers of the earth and the kings set themselves together against the Lord and His anointed. And what's God's response to that? He who sits in the heavens trembles that they might overthrow Him. Are you kidding? A caveman with a club would have more hope against an aircraft carrier. And this world has against its creator. He goes on and says, verse 25, "For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet, and the last enemy to be destroyed is death." You see, that's when there can finally be peace. Because of the resurrection, Jesus can be the Prince of Peace. Because the great enemy isn't war. Because if you abolish every war, death still comes, doesn't it? The great enemy isn't crime. Because if there was never another crime on earth, if there was never one more murder, death would still come. So when Isaiah says, turn with me to Isaiah 9. Isaiah 9, verse 6, Isaiah 9, 6. "For to us a child is born, and to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever." You see, the only way that there can be real peace is if that peace lasts forever. Because no matter how much temporary peace you give me, I still have that great enemy stalking me. It's waiting there every day. Every time I stick the keys in the car. When I was traveling with the Michaels years ago, we'd leave at 2 in the morning on Sunday morning, Saturday night into Sunday morning. We'd leave at 2 in the morning, drive for 5, 6, 7 hours, get there, set up, sing at a church, drive a couple more hours, sing again, get in the car, start home, have a 5, 6, 7 hour drive after we've left at service at 9, 9:30, have to stop and get some supper. Wouldn't get home till 4 in the morning, and I'd be driving home at 4 in the morning. Usually I drove the last leg. I can remember we were driving home and we were coming into Mansfield on old Route 15. And I suddenly swerved the car. And the other guy that was keeping me awake was half awake. He said, "What? Are you asleep? Are you?" I said, "No, there was a deer ready to jump out." And he goes, whoa, you're good. I didn't even see it. And there was a reason he didn't see it. I was just half asleep, and I literally was dreaming, and there was this big billboard there, and I saw this deer stick his paws out from behind the billboard, waiting to jump out in front of me. Yeah, sleep deprivation. Powerful thing. But you know, there is an enemy hiding behind every billboard, ready for that man to miss the stop sign, that drunk driver to cross the lane, that child to run out into the street. But if we avoid that trap, and if we never have an accident, it's waiting in a hospital. I'm sorry, ma'am. There was nothing we could do. There was no sign that his heart was in that bad a shape. Come in and sit down. I have some hard news to tell you. It's cancer. And even if we avoid that trap, it's always waiting there. And if there's no resurrection, there is no hope. Someone was sharing just this week about a tragedy. A 7-year-old child committed suicide. Can you imagine? I'm sorry. Seventh grade. Seventh grade. 12, 13 years old. You know, I was stunned by this. In 1998, there were 16,449 deaths by overdose in the United States. 16,449 deaths. 2017, 20 years later, the last year we have full statistics for, 70,000, not 17, 70,200. Over a 400% increase. It's stalking us. And if there is no resurrection, there is no hope. Because whatever you do, however careful you are, however much you avoid taking chances, it's still waiting. when you sit down with that man to talk about insurance, he says, well, you need to have insurance just in case something would happen. No, you need insurance because it will happen. Nobody lives next to old Fred. Well, there's old Fred. He's been very careful. Nothing's ever happened. He's lived in the same house for 8,000 years. Doesn't matter how careful we are. And without the resurrection, there's no escape. Well, I've got my own religion. That's great. Good for you. But have you been to the other side and made sure that yours works? Well, I just think it'll be okay. I hope you don't drive that way. I just close my eyes and point the car and hope it'll be okay. I thank God. I'm following someone who's been to the other side and he's come back. Will you turn with me to John 11? John 11. John 11. Jesus makes the most audacious statement a human being can make. There is probably only one greater statement that a human could make, and that's a chapter earlier. When he said, before Abraham was, I am. But he repeats that and adds this. John 11, 25. Jesus said to her, John 11, 25, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Scientists tell us that somewhere over 20 billion people have lived on this planet. Somewhere around between a quarter and a third of all the people who have ever lived on Earth are alive today. And today, several hundred thousand will draw their last breath. Two people a second, 120 a minute. A little over 7,000 an hour. But there is only one who could make the statement, I am the resurrection and the life. Now, Jesus was a biblical prophet. In order to make a statement, he had to prove it was true. The very next thing he did after he said these words was he went out and he brought Lazarus out of the tomb, a living man. Jesus proved that death is not the conqueror. We've just sung the song, "I serve a risen Savior." And He is. What do you believe? "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" Let's bow together. Oh God, I thank you that you didn't leave us to leap out into the dark. That you didn't leave us with a long look down a dark tunnel. You didn't leave us with a question of what awaits beyond. Oh, have faith! No, you said, "Let me give you an anchor for that faith. I will give assurance to all men. I will raise him from the dead." Jesus can say, "I am the resurrection and the life." Not, "Trust me. I know it's true. Let me prove it to you. I've gone and I've come back." Thrust your hands in my side. Touch my hands. Feel the holes. Oh, Jesus, thank you for the assurance of the resurrection. In the name of Jesus, who rose again, we pray. Amen and amen.